And as we prepare to turn to God's word and to drink from the fountain that is deep and wide, let us first turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Give us ears to hear your word, O God, beyond our expectations. Let your Holy Spirit infuse our hearts and animate our minds, that we may receive the good news of the truth that sets us free. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In today's lesson from the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, we will hear about a prophet named Elisha, who becomes the conduit of restoration for a man named Naaman, who takes a journey of the heart. Through the voices of unlikely messengers, Naaman is going to hear God's whole truth and be restored in body, mind, and spirit. Centuries later, Jesus will remember this story and share it as he announces the purpose of his ministry. I invite you now to listen for a word from God to you. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give life or death that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Jordan? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, thinking about our common need for restoration, I want to pair this scripture story with a modern-day parable that seems to speak into the situation of our world. It goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a little girl who traveled very far, across the mountains of imagining and the river of wondering why, through the forest of finding out, to a great hill at the center of the world because a question was calling her. There, with eyes full of wonder, she said to Old Turtle, "Where I live, the earth is sore and people are suffering. Battles are fought over and over again. People say it has always been this way and will never change. Can it change, Old Turtle? Can we make it change?" she asked. Old Turtle said, "The world you describe is not the world that has always been." Then Old Turtle told the story of how people had found a beautiful, shiny piece of truth that had fallen to the earth. This truth they held and they cherished, for it brought them happiness and power. On this sparkling truth, it was written, "You are loved." Old Turtle called this truth a broken truth because part of it was missing. To be made whole again, people would need the lost portion of the broken truth. "Where is the missing piece?" asked the little girl, her question burning like a fire deep inside. "Can we put the truth back together again?" "Remember," said Old Turtle, "truth is all around us and within us, but the people no longer see, they no longer hear. Perhaps, little one, you can." The little girl thought about her long journey, the beauty she had seen, the whispering she had heard, and gradually a feeling came over her as if the whole world had been made for her and she had been made for it. And she felt a secret smile somewhere deep inside. She looked again at Old Turtle, her eyes more full of wonder than before. "Remember this, little one," Old Turtle said. "The broken truth and life itself will be mended only when one person meets another, someone from a different place with a different perspective, and sees or hears him or herself. Only then will people know that every person, every being is important, and that the world was made for all of us." "Old Turtle," the little girl asked, "how will the people learn these things?" "By seeking, by listening, by learning," Old Turtle replied. "Now it is time for you to go tell them what you have seen and learned." Before she went, Old Turtle gave her a stone that had been saved for someone just like her. The little girl traveled back through the forest of finding out, back across the river of wondering why and the mountains of imagining, and then she was home. It had been a long journey, and those who take journeys of the heart are changed. But the people did not recognize her. When she spoke, they did not understand. She explained about the broken truth and the need to make it whole, but they could not grasp her meaning. Finally, Old Crow flew up to the place high above the village where the broken truth was kept. He cawed in his loudest voice until the little girl knew what to do. She climbed to the high place, took the stone Old Turtle had given her, and carefully laid it next to the old broken truth. The fit was perfect. The words were clear. "You are loved," the broken truth said. "And so are they," the missing piece added. The people looked and looked. Some of them frowned, some of them smiled, some even laughed, and some cried. And they began to understand. "You are loved, and so are they. It is that simple and that difficult. Can we put this truth back together? Can the whole truth restore our relationships, infuse our lives with hope, fill our hearts with peace? Can the whole truth hold back the tides of violence like those which claimed innocent lives as a congregation in Texas worshiped last Sunday? Can the whole truth ease our suffering and bring us joy?" Come with me back to the wellspring of our scripture story this morning, holding both pieces of this broken truth, and let's accompany Naaman on his journey of the heart to see what it says about ours. Naaman is described as the commander of a great army. At his command, battles are fought and wars are won. You are loved, Naaman. But leprosy is the enemy over which he has no control. Looking into his future, Naaman sees physical disfigurement and social estrangement, and not even the army at his command can help him now. What Naaman gets is not an army, but a tribe. God brings restoration by littering Naaman's path with improbable emissaries, peoples whose words and actions bring messages Naaman needs to get over himself and receive what God gives. Messengers like the little girl who was enslaved as part of the spoils of war, and the king of an enemy nation, and a crazy-making prophet whose words and actions tick him off, and uppity servants who aren't afraid to tell it like it is. You are loved, Naaman, and so are they. Together, this tribe help Naaman find his way through the trappings of a supersized ego and a heap of assumptions to the restoration for which he longs. Without them, there'd be no story, no cure, no happy ending. You are loved, Naaman. You are a great man in high favor, a mighty warrior, and so is she, this girl who is as small as you are big, this slave who has no power and yet is not silent, who sees your humanity and speaks the whole truth about the prophet in Samaria who could cure you. As you listen to her words and make your plans to return to Israel, this time not as conqueror, but as sickened supplicant, you are loved, Naaman, and so are they, those whom you have called your enemy. However, to get to the prophet of Israel, Naaman must go through the king of Israel. And to get to the king of Israel, he will need the help of the king of Aram. And so there's this letter intended to smooth Naaman's way into the presence of the prophet Elijah and a vast caravan of silver and gold. But the truth Naaman holds is broken, and the truth the king of Israel holds is also broken. The general and his enormous entourage approach, and the king of Israel has a bad feeling about this. Here comes his enemy. He feels the familiar anger tinged with fear in the pit of his stomach. By the time he reads the letter intended to calm these fears, it is too late. The king is convinced this guy has come to pick another fight. He is certain this is part of a nefarious plot that will not end well for Israel. Though the words on the page are as plain as day, the king cannot read them that way. He can only read a threat. He tears his clothes in terror. When Elisha, the prophet, hears about it, he sends for Naaman so that all may know there is a prophet in Israel. They are loved, Naaman, and so are you. And so Naaman sets out again. Toward the house of the prophet he goes, along with his entourage, and pulls up at the entrance where another improbable emissary appears. Instead of Elisha, an unnamed messenger boldly announces, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean." That's all. Clinging to his piece of broken truth, however, Naaman explodes. "Does this so-called prophet not know who I am?" he fumes. "I thought he would come out and call on the name of his God for me. I assumed he would wave at my skin and cure the leprosy. I expected he'd tell me to wash in the fabulous, clear, rushing rivers in my own country, not in the Jordan, that pathetic little stream. I am not amused. I am going home." Fortunately for Naaman, more improbable emissaries wait in the wings. His own servants look at him and see themselves, and with courage they speak the whole truth. "If the prophet commanded you to do something difficult, would you not do it? How much more, when all he said was wash and be clean? Naaman has a river. He has a tribe. And now he has a prophet's simple request, the whole truth. 7 times he takes the plunge. With each immersion, see him shed the layers of suffering caused by his disease. See him shake off the detritus of the many battles fought and won. See him let down his guard and let in the uncomfortable truth of his own hubris. See him chuckle over the absurdity of the messengers who broke through his defenses. See him grasp the incredible hope that awakens in those who take journeys of the heart. And now imagine him coming up out of the water, his flesh restored. Those who take journeys of the heart are changed, and Naaman is no exception. Not only has his leprosy been cured, but now he also confesses Israel's God. The one who was Israel's enemy now comes to worship the God that Israel calls its own God. And then when Jesus preached his first sermon at the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, he tells the story of Naaman. Jesus says, "Now there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, but none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. You are loved, Israel, and so are they." To this whole truth, Jesus spoke. For this whole truth, Jesus lived, died, and rose, and called disciples then and now, so that we may know and share the love of God that embraces us all. On account of this whole truth, Jesus became God's improbable emissary, relentless about restoring us in our brokenness. The messenger whose words and actions make the wellspring a mirror reflecting back the image of God in the faces of each other. Holding this whole truth, we become improbable emissaries too. Messengers who care for orphans, who work on behalf of homeless women and children at the Cathedral Center, who build at Habitat for Humanity work sites, who fill grocery bags with food, who mentor or tutor children, who embody ministries of care and compassion as deacons, who each holiday season give to those in prison or other places. We could go on and on and on. You are loved, and so are they. This message drives our mission. This makes Crossroads known as the prophet Elijah was, as the instrument of God's love, as a wellspring of God's restoration. We need each other. Our community and world needs us. It's that simple and it's that difficult. Because people can be complicated and community can be messy. We have dreams, we have expectations, and we want what we want. But God's restoration happens as we become improbable emissaries of the gospel, holding both pieces of the broken truth. Improbable emissaries who care for each other deeply, and with the peace of Christ at the center of our life together, take the love of Jesus where people need to know the whole truth. They are loved, and so are we. May it be so. Amen.